Please rise as you're able for a reading of the Gospel. A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mothers and brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd invite all our young people to come on up front. And I need a helper. Say, I also need the rest of these out of my bag.
One moment.
Say, who wants to be my helper today? Excellent, come on down. Will you fan these out and let everybody pick one? They all say something different on the front. You can pick whichever one you like, and they all say something different on the front. Yep, pick a card, any card. Kinda, sorta. While you're passing those out, when Jesus preached and taught people about God, some of them didn't understand him. Even his own mother and brothers. Have you ever had a sibling or a parent who didn't understand you? No, they've always understood absolutely everything you've said and done. That may change as you get older. Jesus even had stepbrothers. Once, when Jesus was teaching and healing people, his family tried to stop him. When they sent someone in to get him, Jesus didn't go out to them. Instead, he appears to have been rude to his own family. I wonder how people feel when someone in their own family is rude to them. How do you feel when someone in your own family is rude to you? Are we too distracted by the cards? Maybe.
I think she wonders where they're supposed to be.
Oh, just to the young people on the front row. Thank you. Has anybody in your family ever been rude to you? Never? No? Okay. Well, I know that sometimes when your family is rude to you, it doesn't feel very good. Did you pick one for you? Excellent. Thank you. It doesn't feel very good when people in your family... Yeah, you can have one too.
Plenty to go around.
Jesus knew it wasn't right to be rude to his parents, and he certainly wants us to always listen to our parents. He wanted more than anything for us, his followers, to serve God. And he knew that God wanted Jesus to teach and heal other people. So Jesus said that his true brothers and sisters and mother are whoever does what God wants. So I have invitations for all of you. Let's open them up. I have randomly selected God's Marvelous Child. It's good. So who on the front row can read? We got some readers here. So who is this for?
Us.
Yeah, that's right, it's for you. And when's the date?
Any.
Any date? All right, what time?
Any.
Any, anytime, anytime, any date. What about a place?
Any
place. And what's going on? What are we invited to?
Salvation.
Salvation, that's right. And how do we get that? We talk to God. That's the RSVP right down there on the bottom. God wants all of us at the party. That's why the invitation is so very open. Anytime, any place, anywhere, you can talk to God and be invited to the party. Jesus wants us to love and serve God too. It is wonderful when our families help us to do that. But even when it feels like they're not helping, we must continue to do what God wants. God's invitation is for all of us to do what God wants each and every day. Will you all join me in a prayer? Can we bow our heads? Can we bow our heads? Yes? Okay. Jesus, help me walk in God's way. Please give me the strength and help me to serve you even when those close to me do not understand. Amen. Shall we sing Jesus Loves Me as they go back to their seats? Let's see if we know the words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Please pray with me. Holy One, open our hearts to your loving spirit. Incline our ears to the truth of your scriptures. Renew our lives in thanksgiving and praise. Amen. So like most of the bulletin art that I have selected, the empty photo frames on the cover are no accident. In most homes, there are photos of the people we love and treasure and want to see. And most of these pictures that we have chosen to put on our walls are the really good pictures. Back in the 90s, they would have come from the Sears studio. Might even be glam photos from the 80s with the sort of fade out in the corner. They might be Olin Mills directory photos. But these days, we take pictures and we post them online, and they are forever. Printed photos can get damaged and lost, but even those feel like a piece out of time. Like when you see photos of your grandparents when they were young, and you're like, that's not you, you're old. This is not the right time period. A photo can take us back in time, bring back a happy memory, share a candid moment that has been captured forever. So when we think about family, there are lots of different things we probably think about. And Christ today invites us to think about family a little differently. You see, because once you have been baptized, you are a member of the church family. You have been initiated in Christian life. And that doesn't mean that you are stuck at a single church. Doesn't mean you are a part of a single denomination. It means you are a part of Christ's family forever and ever. And it does not matter if you are minutes old or older than minutes. It does not matter if you are an only child or one of several. It does not matter if you are the oldest or the youngest or the special middle child. If you are following God's will, if you are repenting of your sins, if you are turning back to God, you are a part of God's family. That door is always open. Now, some of you may be familiar with the phrase, blood is thicker than water. The full phrase is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Let me say that one again. The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Your family will always be your family. And sometimes that's for better and sometimes that's for worse. But they'll always be your family. Your church family, on the other hand, this imperfect bunch of sinners, is one you can always return to, one that will always be family. And although this gospel story may be seen to be two unrelated vignettes in Christ's ministry and life, they actually tie together really well because they deal with family. In the first, Christ is in front of the crowd. Again. People have come to hear the good news before there's even good news. They have come to hear the preaching. They have come to experience the teaching. They have come to be healed. And what does Christ's family do? They attempt to restrain him. No preaching, no teaching, no healing, especially not on the Sabbath. You can almost picture a parent waving their finger at a child, telling them not to do something. And someone had tattled. They've run all the way to Jerusalem to get the scribes, the religious authorities, and say, Jesus is doing something he isn't supposed to do. Don't know what it is, but he's not supposed to be doing it. Early in the chapter, when Christ casts out several demons, Jesus gave very explicit instructions. Don't tell. It's like when your older sibling is babysitting and gives you an extra cookie or lets you stay up a half hour past your bedtime and says, don't tell mom and dad. And it's the exact opposite of when your siblings hit you accidentally or otherwise and then say, are you hurt? Don't tell mom and dad. Very different sentiments, exact same phrase. So why did Christ hide any of his identity? Well, in some ways, it's about a verse we skipped last week. When Christ talks to Nicodemus about being born again and saying that you are a part of a new family, a new covenant, sometimes being Christian does mean walking away from the family you were born into. And that's not easy, and it's not necessarily the first thing that we'd suggest. But Christ's decision to hide who he was may have been related to that. You see, Christ has power. Christ has might. Christ has come as this king. But he's definitely not the king that people asked for. Samuel warned them in 1 Samuel. And unlike in Samuel, when the warning is, there will be big armies of soldiers, your children will be enslaved, your children will be taken, Christ is just going to take and take and take and take as king. The exact opposite is true. Christ has come to give us a gift, to be generous in spirit, abundantly graceful. And even before people start talking about who Christ is and who Christ is going to be, is he the Messiah or isn't he? He's got multitudes of people. Not just crowds, not just a good crowd. Multitudes of people seeking his presence. What would you do? You're told that your child is embarrassing you in front of everybody. So Christ's family has involved the religious authorities out of Jerusalem to tell him that he is in fact possessed by a demon, or is a demon, rather than the Son of God, and then he needs to stop what he's doing immediately. And what makes that sort of extra special is that Mary, who had angels tell her more than once that the child she carried was the Son of God, is a part of this attempt to stop Christ. Now, by a quick show of hands, who has siblings? Not everybody, but most people. Yeah. See, more than one person has attempted to capture the sibling dynamic that we see on display here today. One example of this comes out of White Christmas, that Christmas classic. It's the two sisters, the double act, the Lord help the mister who comes between me and my sister, and Lord help the sister who comes between me and my man. This sibling dynamic is as old as Cain and Abel. In the modern zeitgeist, I once heard it explained as, if my sister touches my hairbrush again, I will kill her. And if my sister needs to bury a body, I'm grabbing my shovel and coming over. Siblings are complicated, and the church family is even more so, because that which ties us together is beyond our own understanding. So, can we rightly accuse these siblings and step-siblings of Christ of being jealous, envious, worried, particularly about their mom? Are they wishing perhaps it was them who drew the crowds? I'm going to give a very solid maybe on that one. We cannot know their motivations. We just have their actions to judge. So when Christ's family comes to restrain him, to make him stop, and allows the religious leaders to accuse him of being a demon, of being a part of Beelzebub, you gotta wonder. Because Christ, of course, is not a demon. Christ has logic and truth on his side. A house divided against itself cannot stand. There must be unity, there must be peace, there must be reconciliation and connection. And although petty disagreements and little squabbles will likely always be a thing, a demon cannot cast out another demon. A big, serious problem. And the disciples were given the power to cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. They were given that power. So we as humans are endowed with this power as well. We are the spiritual successors to the disciples. And with God's help, we are capable of many incredible, amazing, and almost unbelievable things. As the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, our sibling dynamic is very different. We love each other. We hold each other accountable. We help each other grow in the Word. All of these wonderful, beautiful, positive things. So when Christ makes this positive statement, an incredibly inclusive one, but with a warning, everyone who follows God's will, they are a part of the family. It's very reminiscent of when Christ turns to the criminal on the cross and says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." There is no sin we can commit that is so great that God will not welcome us back. There is no sin you can commit that will ever make God abandon you, except for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And we don't get a whole lot of details on how specifically that eternal sin is done. And I think that perhaps this might be one of those spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law things. If you're trying to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, congratulations, you have. You've succeeded. It's not something that happens accidentally. It's not something to be done for fun. So when we do make mistakes, when we do sin, when we do hurt our family, both church family or our real brothers and sisters or mom and dads, take heart, my brothers and sisters. The frames are empty because our church family is not yet complete. You're not yet ready to take the big family photos. We are still growing, both individually and personally and as a congregation. We are still expanding God's family. We are still making disciples for the transformation of the world. And although that is no small feat, God goes with us no matter where we go, or what we do, or who we do it with. Because God's love is steadfast. God's love never fails. Therefore, love your family. Yes. But remember that God is first and foremost, and the happiest of lives lived well. Amen.